Probably not. But then again, at this point, she probably can't even form a coherent thought. These aren't normal circumstances, to put it mildly.
I'll take your silence as a no, Harden. My guess is, if she doesn't want to be found, she's at the one place where she knows you won't go.
Her mother's. I groan, punching my thigh for not thinking of that earlier.
Oh, now I've done it. Are you going there?
Yeah. But would Zed really drive her 2 hours to take her to her mum's?
Do you know how to get there?
Not exactly, but I can go by the apartment and get the address.
I think I have something here that has it written on it. She left some transfer paperwork here a while ago. Let me look and call you right back.
Thanks. I wait impatiently and turn my car around in the nearest empty parking lot. I stare out the window, taking in the darkness, fighting not to let it take me over. I have to focus on seeing Tess, on making sure she's okay.
Are you going to tell me what's going on?
Landon asks moments later when he calls back. Steph, you know, the redhead? She drugged Tessa. Landon gasps.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's a fucked up situation and I wasn't there to help her, so she's with Zed, I tell him.
Is she okay?
He sounds like he's panicking. I don't have a fucking clue. I wipe my nose on my shirt, and Landon gives me directions to Tessa's childhood home. Her mum is going to lose her shit when I show up, especially given the situation. But I don't care. I don't have a clue as to what the hell I'm going to do when I arrive. But I have to see her and make sure she's okay.
Chapter 60. Tessa. What happened? Tell me the entire story, my mother cries out as Zed lifts me out of his truck. His arms around me jar me back into consciousness and a blooming sense of embarrassment.
Tessa's old roommate slipped something into her drink, and Tessa asked me to bring her here,
Zed tells her, half-truthfully. I'm relieved that he kept some of the details from her. Oh my God! Why would that girl do such a thing?
I don't know, Mrs. Young. Tessa can explain when she wakes up.
I am awake, I want to scream, but I can't. It's an odd feeling, hearing everything that's going on around me but not being able to participate in the conversation. I can't move or speak. My mind is foggy and my thoughts are twisted, but I'm strangely aware of everything that is happening. What's happening, though, changes every few minutes. Sometimes Zed's voice turns into Harden's, and I swear I hear Harden's laughter and see his face when I try to open my eyes. I'm losing it. This drug is making me crazy, and I want it to stop. Some time passes, I have no idea how much, and I'm placed on what I can tell is the sofa. Slowly, maybe even reluctantly, Zed's arms slide out from underneath me.
Well, thank you for bringing her here, my mother says. This is just dreadful. When will she wake up?
Her voice is piercing. My head is spinning slowly.
I don't know. I think the effects last 12 hours at most. It's been about 3 already.
How could she be so stupid? My mother snaps at Zed, and the word stupid echoes in my mind until it fades out.
Who, Steph?
He asks. No, Teresa. How could she be that stupid to associate with those people?
It wasn't her fault,
Zed answers, defending me.
It was supposed to be a going-away party. Tessa thought the girl was her friend.
Friend? Please. Tessa should know better than to try to be friends with that girl or any of you, for that matter.
No disrespect or anything, but you don't know me. I did just drive for 2 hours to bring your daughter here,
Zed politely responds. My mother sighs, and I focus on the sound of her heels clicking on the tile of the kitchen floor.
Do you need anything else?
He asks her. The couch, I notice, is much softer than Zed's arms. Harden's arms are soft, but hard at the same time. The way his muscles strain under his skin is something I always loved to watch. My thoughts are blurring again. I hate this constant shift back and forth between clarity and confusion. From a distance, I hear my mother's voice say,
No, thank you for bringing her. I was rude a moment ago, and I apologize for it. I'll get her clothes and stuff from my car real quick, then be on my way.
Okay. I hear the clicking of her high heels from across the room. I wait to hear the roar of Zed's truck. It doesn't come. Or maybe it did already and I missed it. I'm confused. My head is heavy. I don't know how long I've been lying here, but I'm thirsty. Did Zed leave yet?
What the hell are you doing here?
My mother screams, bringing a sharp edge of clarity to the haze, though I still don't know what's happening.
Is she okay?
A panting, ragged voice asks. Harden. He's here. Harden. Unless it's Zed's voice deceiving me again. No, I know it's Harden. I can feel him here somehow.
You aren't coming into this house,
my mother yells.
Did you not hear me? Don't walk past me like you didn't hear me.
I hear the screen door slam shut, and my mother continues to yell. And then I think I feel his hand on my cheek.
Chapter 61. Harden. They couldn't have been here long. I went 20 miles over the speed limit the whole way. The moment I spot Zed's truck in the driveway of the small brick house, I nearly vomit. When he steps out onto the porch, my vision goes red. Zed walks slowly to his truck as I park on the street, not wanting to block him in, so we can just get the fuck out of here. What will I say to him? What will I say to her? Will she even be able to hear me? I knew you'd show up here, he says quietly when I appear in front of him. Why wouldn't I? I growl, biting back my rising anger. Maybe because this is all your fault. Are you fucking serious? It's my fault that Steph is a goddamn psycho. Yes. Yes, it is. No. It's your fault that you didn't come with Tessa to that party in the first place. You should have seen her face when I busted that door in. He shakes his head as if to rid himself of the memory. My chest tightens. Tessa must not have told him that we aren't together. Does that mean she's still holding on, the way that I am? I didn't even know she was going there, so fuck off. Where is she? Inside. He states the obvious with a murderous glare. Don't fucking look at me like that. You shouldn't even be here in the first place, I remind him. If it wasn't for me, she would have been raped and God knows what else. My hands find the collar of his leather jacket, and I push him up against the side of his truck. No matter how many times you try, no matter how many times you save her, she will never want you. Don't forget that. I give him one last push and step away. I want to hit him, bust his fucking nose for being such a smug asshole. But Tessa is just inside that house, and seeing her is much more important right now. As I walk past his truck windows, I see on his seat Tessa's purse and dress. She doesn't have clothes on. Why is her dress off? I dare to ask. I yank on the door handle and gather her things into my arms. When he doesn't answer immediately, I glare at him, waiting for his response. They took it off of her, he simply remarks, his expression grim. Fuck, I murmur, and turn to walk up the path to Tessa's mother's house. As I reach the porch, Carol comes out to block the front door.
What the hell are you doing here?
Her daughter's wounded, and her first thought is to scream at me. Fucking lovely.
I need to see her.
I grab the handle to the screen door. She shakes her head, but moves out of my way. I get the feeling that she knows I'll push right past her.
You aren't coming into this house!
She shouts. I ignore her and step around her.
Did you not hear me? Don't walk past me like you didn't hear me!
The screen door slams somewhere behind me as I scan the small living room to find my girl. And then I freeze momentarily when I see her. She's lying on the couch with her knees bent slightly, her hair like a blonde halo around her head and her eyes closed. Carol continues to harass me, threatening to call the cops, but I don't give a shit. I step over to Tessa, then kneel down so that I'm level with her face. Without thought, I brush a thumb over her cheekbone and cup her flushed cheek in my palm. Christ! I curse, and watch closely as her chest moves up and down slowly. Fuck, Tess. I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. I whisper to her, hoping that she can hear me. She's so beautiful. Still and calm, her lips parted slightly. Innocence clear on her breathtaking face. Carol, of course, jumps into the moment, spewing her anger at me.
You've got that right. This is your fault. Now get out of my house before I have you dragged out by the police.
Without turning to her, I say, Would you just give it a rest? I'm not going anywhere. Go ahead and call the police. Have them show up here this late at night. You'll be the talk of the town, and we all know you don't want that. I know she's glaring at me, throwing daggers in her mind, but I can't look away from the girl in front of me.
Fine, Carol finally snorts. You have 5 minutes.
Her shoes drag against the carpet in the most hideous way. Why is she so dressed up this late anyway?
I hope you can hear me, Tessa,
I begin. My words are rushed, but my touch is gentle as I caress the soft skin of her cheek. Tears well up in my eyes and fall onto her clear skin.
I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry for all of this. I shouldn't have let you walk away in the first place. What was I thinking? You would be proud of me, a little, I think. I didn't kill Dan when I found him. I only kicked him in the face. Oh, and I choked him a little. But he's still breathing.
I pause before admitting.
And I almost drank tonight. But I didn't. I couldn't make things even worse between us. I know you think I don't care, but I do. I just don't know how to show you.
I stop to examine the way her eyelids flutter at my voice.
Tessa, can you hear me?
I ask, hopeful.
Sad?
She barely whispers, and for a moment I swear the devil is messing with my mind.
No, baby, it's Harden. I'm Harden, not Zed.
I can't help the irritation that flares in me from hearing his name come so softly from her lips.
No, Harden.
Her eyebrows pull together in confusion, but her eyes stay closed.
Zed?
She repeats, and I drop my hand from her cheek. When I rise to my feet, her mum is nowhere in sight. I'm surprised she wasn't hovering over my shoulder while I tried to make amends with her daughter. And then, as if my thoughts conjured her, she bursts back into the room.
Are you finished?
She demands. I hold one palm up toward her back.
No, I'm not.
I want to be. Tessa's calling out for Zed after all. Then, meekly, as if admitting that she's not in control of the entire world, her mum asks,
Can you put her in her room for me before you go? She can't just lie on the couch.
So I'm not allowed here, but...
I stop myself, knowing it won't do any good to get into it with this woman for the 10th time since I met her. So I just nod.
Sure. Where's the room?
Last door on the left.
She replies curtly and disappears again. I don't know where Tessa's kindness came from, but it sure as hell wasn't this woman. Sighing, I push one arm under Tessa's knees and one under her neck, lifting her gently. A soft groan falls from her lips as I bring her close to my chest. I keep my head down slightly as I carry her down the hall. This house is small, much smaller than I had imagined. The last door on the left is nearly closed, and when I push it open with my foot, I'm surprised at the nostalgic feelings that well up deep inside me at the sight of a room that I've never been in before. A small bed rests against the far wall, filling nearly half of the tiny bedroom. The desk in the corner is almost the same size as the bed. A teenage Tessa flows through my imagination, the way she must have spent hours and hours sitting at the large desk working on countless homework assignments, her eyebrows pushed together, her mouth set in a straight, over-concentrated line, her hair falling over her eyes, and her hand pushing it back swiftly before pushing the pencil back behind her ear. Knowing her now, I wouldn't have guessed these pink sheets and this purple duvet would belong to her. They must have been holdovers from back when a younger Tessa went through her Barbie doll phase that she once described as the best and worst time in her life. I remember her describing how she constantly felt the need to ask her mum things like where Barbie worked, what university she attended, if she would have children one day. I look down at the adult Tessa in my arms and stifle a laugh as I think about her constant curiosity, one of my most and least favourite things about her now. I yank back the blanket and gently lay her across the bed, making sure that there's only one pillow underneath her head, just the way she sleeps at home. Home. This is not her home anymore. Just like this small house, our apartment was a short stop for her on the way to her dream. Seattle. The small wooden dresser creaks as I open the top drawer, searching for clothes to place on her half-naked body. The thought of Dan undressing her makes my fists clench around the thin fabric of an old T-shirt from her dresser. I lift Tessa up as gently as I can and drag the shirt over her head. Her hair is messy. When I attempt to smooth it, it only gets worse. She groans again, and her fingers twitch. She's trying to move, and she can't. I hate this. I swallow the bile in my throat and blink away the thoughts of that shitbag's hands on her. To be respectful, I look away from her while my hands pull her arms through the small holes, and finally she's dressed. Carol is standing in the doorway. A thoughtful yet uptight expression covers her face, and I wonder how long she's been standing there.
Chapter 62. Tessa. Just stop, I want to scream at the two of them. I can't keep up with them fighting this way. I can't keep up. Time doesn't make sense in this state that I'm in. Everything is out of order. They're slamming doors and my mother and Hardin arguing, and it's all so hard to hear, but mostly there's just darkness dragging me under, pulling hard. At some point, I ask Hardin, "Yes, what about Zed? Did you hurt him?" At least, the thoughts are there, and I'm trying my hardest to say them. I'm not sure if they make it out of my mouth or not, if my mouth is coordinated with my mind.
"No, it's Hardin. I'm Hardin, not Zed."
Hardin is here, not Zed. Wait, Zed is here too, isn't he? "No, Hardin, did you hurt Zed?" The darkness is tugging me in the opposite direction of his voice. My mother's voice enters the room and fills it with her authoritarian air, but I can't make out a word. The only clarity I have is in Hardin's voice. Not even his words, but how it sounds, how it moves through me. At some point, I feel something push under my body. Hardin's arm? I'm not entirely sure, but I'm lifted off the couch as the familiar minty scent fills my nostrils. Why is he here, and how did he find me? Only seconds later, I'm gently laid back on the bed, then I'm lifted again. I don't want to move. Hardin's shaky hands push a shirt over my head, and I want to scream at him to stop touching me. The last thing I want is to be touched, but the moment Hardin's fingers brush against my skin, the disgusting memory of Dan is erased. "Touch me again, please. Make it go away," I beg. He doesn't reply. His hands keep touching my head, my neck, my hair, and I try to lift my hand to his, but it's too heavy.
"I love you, and I'm so sorry,"
I hear before my head rests back on the pillow.
"I want to take her home."
"No, leave me here. Please," I think to myself, "but don't go."
Chapter 63. Hardin. Carol crosses her arms over her chest. "Not happening." "I know that." I seethe and wonder just how angry Tessa would be if I cussed her mother out. Leaving her room, Her childhood bedroom is hard enough without hearing the strangled whine that falls from her lips when I cross the threshold into the hallway.
"Where were you tonight while this was happening?"
she questions. "At home."
"Why weren't you there to stop this?
What makes you so sure I wasn't a part of it? You're usually quick to blame me for everything wrong in the world."
"Because I know that regardless of your poor choices and your even poorer attitude, you wouldn't let anything like this happen to Tessa if you could help it."
Is that a compliment from her? A backhanded one. But hell, I'll take it, especially considering the circumstances. "Well," I begin. She holds her hand up to silence me.
"I wasn't finished. I don't blame you for everything that's wrong in the world."
She gestures to the sleeping or half-conscious girl lying on the small bed.
"Just her world."
"I won't argue with that." I sigh in defeat. I know she's right. There's no denying that I've ruined nearly everything in Tessa's life. He's been my hero, my tormentor at times, but mostly my hero, she had said in her journal. A hero? I'm far from a fucking hero. I would give anything to be one for her, but I just don't know how to go about it.
"Well, at least we can agree on something."
Her full lips turn up in a half smile, but she blinks it away and looks down at her feet.
"Well, if that was all you needed, you can go."
"Okay." I take one last look at Tessa, and then turn back to her mum, who is staring at me again.
"What are your plans in regard to my daughter?"
she asks with some authority, but also maybe a little fear.
"I have to know what your long-term intentions are, because every time I turn around, something else is happening with her, and not something good. What do you plan to do with her in Seattle?"
"I'm not going to Seattle with her." The words are thick and heavy on my tongue.
"What?"
She begins to walk down the hallway and I follow her. "I'm not going. She's going without me."
"As happy as that makes me, may I ask why?"
A perfectly arched brow rises and I look away. "I'm just not, that's why. It's better for her that I don't go, anyway."
"You sound just like my ex-husband."
She swallows.
"Sometimes I blame myself for Tessa attaching herself to you. I worry that it's because of the way her father was before he left us."
Her manicured hand lifts up to smooth her hair, and she tries to appear unaffected by her mention of Richard. "He has nothing to do with her relationship with me. She barely knows him. The few days they've spent together lately shows just that. She doesn't remember enough about him to affect her choice in men."
"Lately?"
Carol's eyes widen in surprise, and I watch in horror as the color drains from her face. And any small understanding we had been creating seems to disappear along with it. Shit. Fuck. Fucking shit.
We ran into him a little over a week ago. Richard? He found her?
Her voice breaks, and she places her hand on her neck.
No, she ran into him.
Her fingers start running nervously over the pearls around her neck.
Where?
I don't think I should be telling you any of this.
Excuse me?
Her arms drop, and she stands there, gaping in shock. If Tessa wanted you to know that she'd seen her dad, she would have told you herself.
This is more important than your dislike for me, Harden. Has she been seeing him often?
Her grey eyes are now glazed over, threatening to spill tears at any moment. But knowing this woman, she would never in a million years shed a tear in front of anyone, especially me. I sigh, not wanting to betray Tessa, but reluctant to cause any more shit with her mum. He stayed with us for a few days.
She wasn't going to tell me, was she?
Her voice is thin and hoarse while she picks at her red fingernails. Probably not. You aren't the easiest person to talk to, I remind her.
I wonder if this is a good time to bring up my suspicion about him breaking into the apartment.
And you are?
She raises her voice, and I step closer.
At least I care about her well-being. That's more than I can say for you.
I knew the civil conversation between us wouldn't last long.
I care about her more than anyone, even you,
I fire back.
I am her mother. No one loves her more than I do. The fact that you think you possibly could just shows how demented you really are.
Her shoes click against the floor as she paces back and forth.
You know what I think? I think that you hate me because I remind you of him. You hate the constant reminder of what you ruined, so you hate me so you don't have to hate yourself. But do you want to know something?
I wait for her sarcastic nod before continuing.
You and I are a lot alike, too. More alike than Richard and I, really. We both refuse to take any responsibility for our mistakes. Instead, we blame everyone else. We isolate the ones we love and force them. No, you're wrong,
she cries out. Her tears and histrionics somehow keep me from finishing that thought, that she will spend the rest of her days alone.
No, I'm not wrong. But what I am is leaving. Tessa's car is still around school somewhere, so I'll bring it back tomorrow, unless you want to make the drive yourself.
Carol wipes at her eyes.
Fine. Bring the car. At 5 tomorrow.
She looks up at me through bloodshot eyes and smeared mascara.
That doesn't change anything. I'll never like you.
And I'll never care if you do. I walk toward the front door, momentarily debating whether I should go back down the hallway, get Tessa, and bring her with me.
Harden, despite the way I feel toward you, I do know that you love my daughter. I just want to remind you again that if you love her, truly love her, you will stop interfering in her life. She's not the same girl that I dropped off at that devil school half a year ago.
I know. As much as I hate this woman, I feel pity for her. Because, like me, she'll probably be alone for the rest of her miserable life. Can you do me a favor? I ask. She eyes me suspiciously.
What would that be?
Don't tell her that I was here. If she doesn't remember, don't tell her. Tessa is so out of it, she probably won't remember a thing. I don't think she even knows that I'm here now. Carol looks at me, looks through me, and nods.
That I can do.
Chapter 64. Tessa. My head is heavy. So heavy. And the light shining through the yellow curtains is bright. Too bright. Yellow curtains? I reopen my eyes to find the familiar yellow curtains of my old bedroom covering the windows. Those curtains always drove us both crazy, but my mother couldn't afford to buy a matching set, so we learned to live with them. And the last 12 hours come flooding back in pieces. Broken and jumbled memories that make little sense to me. Nothing makes sense. It takes seconds, minutes maybe, for my mind to even attempt to comprehend what happened. Steph's betrayal is my strongest memory from the night, one of the most painful memories that I have ever had to experience. How could she do that to me? To anyone? The whole situation is just so wrong, so twisted, and I never saw it coming. I remember the strong sense of relief I felt when she walked into the room, only to slip back into a panic when she admitted that she had never been a friend to me after all. Her voice was so clear, despite the state I was in. She put something in my drink to slow me down, or worse, to make me pass out, all so she could get some sort of unwarranted revenge on me and Harden. I was so afraid last night. And she went from being my safety to being a predator so quickly that I could barely comprehend the shift. I was drugged at a party by someone who I thought was my friend. The reality of this hits me hard, and I swipe angrily at the tears soaking my cheeks. Humiliation replaces the sting of betrayal when I remember Dan and his camera. They took off my dress. The small red camera light in the dim room is something I don't think I'll ever forget. They wanted to violate me, tape it, and show it to an audience. I hold my stomach, hoping to not get sick again. Every single time I think I may get a break from the constant battle that has become my life, something worse happens, and I keep putting myself in these situations. Steph, of all people, I still can't grasp it. If her reasoning was true, if she did it only because she doesn't like me and she has a thing for Harden, why didn't she just tell me in the first place? Why did she pretend to be my friend all this time only to set me up? How could she smile in my face and go shopping with me, listen to my secrets and share my worries, only to be planning something like this behind my back? I sit up slowly, and it's still too fast. My pulse is pounding behind my ears, and I want to rush to the bathroom and force myself to throw up, in case any of the drug remains in my stomach. I don't, though, and instead close my eyes again. When I wake up again, my head is a little lighter, and I manage to get out of my childhood bed. I don't have any pants on, only a small t-shirt that I don't remember putting on in the first place. My mother must have dressed me, but that doesn't seem likely. The only pajama pants left in my old dresser are uncomfortably tight and too short. I have gained weight since I left for college, but I feel more comfortable and confident in my body, more now than I ever felt before. I wobble out of the bedroom, down the hallway, into the kitchen, where I find my mother leaning against the counter reading a magazine. Her black dress is smooth and lint-free, her matching heels are high, and her hair is curled into perfect classic waves. When I glance at the clock on the stove, I see that it's a bit past 4 in the afternoon.
"How are you feeling?"
my mother asks timidly as she turns to face me. "Terrible," I groan, unable to put on a friendly, much less a brave face.
"I'd imagine, after the night you had."
Here we go.
"Have some coffee and some Advil. You'll feel better."
I nod slowly and walk over to the cabinet to grab a coffee mug.
"I have church this evening. I assume you won't be coming along? You missed the morning service," she says in a flat voice.
"No, I'm in no shape to be in church right now. Only my mother would ask me to go to church with her when I just woke up after sleeping off a date rape drug." She grabs her handbag from the kitchen table, then turns back to me.
"Okay. I'll tell Noah and Mr. and Mrs. Porter you said hello. I'll be home around 8, maybe shortly after."
A pang of guilt hits me at the mention of Noah's name. I still haven't called him since I learned of his grandmother's passing. I know I should have, and I need to. I'll do it after church ends, if I can find my phone, that is. "How did I get here last night?" I ask, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I remember Zed storming into Harden's old room and breaking the camera.
"The young man who brought you was named Zed, I believe."
She looks back down at her magazine and quietly clears her throat. "Oh, I hate this. I hate not knowing. I like to be in control of everything, and last night I wasn't in control of my thoughts or of my body." My mother puts down the magazine with what sounds like a slap. She looks at me blankly, says,
"Call me if you need anything," and walks toward the front door.
"Okay." Turning, my mother gives one last disapproving glance toward my tight pajamas and leaves the house.
"Oh, and go through my closet and find yourself something to wear."
The moment the screen door closes, a flash of Harden's voice pops into my mind. "This is all my fault," he said. "It couldn't have been Harden. My mind is playing tricks on me. I need to call Zed and thank him for everything. I owe him so much for coming to my aid, for saving me. I'm so grateful to him, and I'll never be able to thank him enough for helping me and driving me all the way here. I can't imagine what would have happened in front of that camera had he not shown up." Salty tears mix with black coffee for the next half hour. Finally, I force myself from the table and into the bathroom to wash last night's disgusting events from my body. By the time I'm searching in my mother's closet for something without a built-in underwire bra, I feel a good deal better. "Do you not own any normal clothing?" I groan, pushing through hanger after hanger holding cocktail dresses. I'm at the point where I would rather sit naked before I finally find a cream-colored sweater and dark jeans. The jeans fit perfectly, and the sweater is tight on my chest, but I'm grateful to have found anything casual at all, so I'm not going to complain. Searching the house for my phone and purse, I realize that I don't have a single memory that could point me toward their hiding place. Why can't my mind just clear through the jumbled night and make sense of everything? I'm assuming my car is still parked outside of Steph's dorm. Hopefully she hasn't slashed my tires. I go back into my old bedroom and pull open the desk drawer. My phone sits inside on top of my small purse. I press the power button and wait for the home screen to appear. I nearly turn it back off when the alert vibrations go on endlessly. Text message after text message, voicemail after voicemail pop onto the small screen. Harden, Harden, Zed, Harden, Unknown, Harden, Harden. My stomach flutters in the most uncomfortable way as I read his name on the screen. He knows. He has to. Someone told him what happened, and that's why he called and text messaged me so many times. I should call him and at least let him know that I'm okay before he worries himself crazy. Regardless of the state of our relationship, he's probably upset after hearing about what happened. Upset being an understatement for sure. I hang up the phone after 6 rings, just as his voicemail picks up, and head back into my mother's bedroom to attempt to style my hair. The last thing I care about is my appearance right now, but I also don't care for the idea of listening to my mother's insults if I don't make myself look at least decent. Dealing with my appearance also helps to distract me from my anxiety over the scattershot memories of last night that flash into my mind occasionally. I cover the deep circles under my eyes and apply a few swipes of mascara and brush my hair. It's nearly dry now, working in my favor as I rake my fingers through the natural waves. It doesn't look nearly as good as I would like, but I don't have the energy to mess with the frizzy mess any longer than I already have. The faint sound of someone knocking at the front door draws me out of my daze. Who could be coming here at this time? And suddenly my stomach turns at the thought of Harden being on the other side of the door.
"Tessa?"
a familiar voice calls as I hear the door open. Noah lets himself in, and I see him in the living room. Relief and guilt hit me as I take in his familiar but shaky smile.
"Hey,"
he nods, shifting from one foot to the other. Without thinking, I practically throw myself at him. Wrapping my arms around his neck, I bury my face in his chest and begin to cry. His strong arms wrap around me and hold me, keeping both of us from toppling over.
"Are you okay?"
"Yes, I'm just..." "No, I'm not." I lift my head from his chest, not wanting to smear my mascara on his tan cardigan.
"Your mom said you were in town."
He continues to hold me while I continue to relish the familiarity of him.
"So I kind of ducked out before the service ended so I could say hey without everyone around. So what happened?"
"So much. Too much to even explain. I'm being so dramatic," I groan and step away from him.
"College still isn't treating you the way you hoped?"
he asks with a sympathetic little smile. I shake my head and gesture for him to follow me into the kitchen where I make another pot of coffee. "No, not at all. I'm moving to Seattle."
"Your mom told me,"
he says and sits at the table. "Are you still thinking of going to WCU in the spring?" I bark out a little laugh. I wouldn't recommend that school. But trying to make a joke at my own expense fails as tears fill my eyes.
"Yeah, that's the plan. This girl I've been seeing. We've been thinking about San Francisco, though. You know how I love California."
I wasn't prepared for that. Noah dating someone. I suppose I should have been, but it feels so weird that all I can think to say is, "Oh?" Noah's blue eyes shine under the fluorescent kitchen lights.
"Yeah, it's been going pretty well. I've been trying to take it in stride, though, you know, because of everything."
Not wanting him to finish that thought and make me feel even more guilty about how we broke up, I ask, so how did you two meet?"
"Well, she works at Zooms or something, a store in the mall near you, and..."
"You were in town?" I interrupt him. It feels strange that he didn't tell me, didn't stop by, but I get it.
"Yeah, to see Becca. I should have called you or something, but everything was so weird between us."
"I know. It's okay," I assure him and let him finish. That name, Becca, rings a bell, but the fragment of memory drops from my mind as he continues.
"Well, anyway, I guess after that we got pretty close. We had some problems here and there, and I thought I couldn't trust her for a while, but we're doing pretty good now."
Hearing about his woes brings me back to my own, and I sigh. I feel like I can't trust anyone anymore. When Noah frowns, I hastily add, Except you. I'm not talking about you. Every single person that I've met since I arrived at that school has lied to me in some way. Even Hardin. Especially Hardin.
Is that what happened last night?
Sort of. I wonder what my mother told him.
I knew it had to be something big to bring you home.
I nod, and he reaches across the table to clasp my hands in his.
I missed you,
he murmurs, sadness clear in his voice. I look up at him with wide eyes. I can feel the tears coming again. I'm so sorry that I haven't called you about your grandma.
It's okay. I know you're busy.
He leans back against the chair with soft eyes. That's not an excuse. I've been so terrible to you.
You haven't,
he lies, shaking his head slowly. You know that I have. I've treated you so poorly since I left home, and I'm so sorry. You didn't deserve any of it.
Stop beating yourself up. I'm okay now,
he assures me with a warm smile, but the guilt doesn't subside. I still shouldn't have done it. Then he surprises me with something I wouldn't have expected him to ever ask.
If you could do it all over again, what would you change?
The way I went about things. I shouldn't have strung you along and gone behind your back. I've known you half my life, and I dropped you so suddenly. It was terrible of me.
It was,
he starts.
But I get it now. We weren't good for each other. Well, we were perfect together,
he says with a laugh.
But I think that was actually the problem.
The small kitchen feels more spacious now as my guilt begins to dissolve. You think so?
Yeah, I do. I love you, and I'll always love you. I just don't love you the way I always thought I did, and you could never love me the way you love him.
I choke on my breath at his mention of Hardin. He's right. He's so right, but I can't talk about Hardin with Noah. Not right now. I need to change the subject. So Becca makes you happy then?
Yeah. She's different than you'd probably expect, but then Hardin isn't exactly who I expected you to break up with me for.
His smile isn't harsh as he chuckles softly.
I guess we both needed something different.
He's right, yet again. I guess so. I laugh along with him and we continue to lighten the conversation until another knock at the door interrupts us.
I'll get it,
he says, standing to his feet and leaving the small kitchen before I can stop him.
Chapter 65. Hardin. Watching the clock change from minute to minute is slowly murdering me. I'd rather pull my hair out piece by piece than sit here and wait in this goddamned driveway until 5. I don't see Tessa's mum's car. There are no cars in the driveway except Tessa's, which I'm sitting in. Landon has parked on the street, having followed me here so I get a lift back. Luckily, he cares about Tessa's well-being more than anyone except me, so it didn't take any convincing. Go knock on the door, or I will, he threatens through the phone. I'm going to. Fuck, give me a second. I don't know if anyone's here. Well, if not, leave the keys in the mailbox and we'll go. That's exactly why I haven't done that already. I want her to be inside. I have to know that she's okay. I'm going up now, I say and hang up on my obnoxious stepbrother. The 17 steps up to her mum's front door are the worst of my life. I knock on the outer screen door, but I'm not sure if it was loud enough. Fuck it. I knock again, this time much harder. Too hard, too hard. I put my hand down when the flimsy aluminium bends, snapping a couple pieces of wire from the screen. Shit. The door creaks open, and instead of Tessa, her mum, or anyone else on the fucking planet that I'd rather see, it's Noah. You've got to be fucking kidding me, I say. When he tries to close the door in my face, I stop it with my boot. Don't be a dick. I push the door open, and he steps back. Why are you here? He asks, his face etched in a deep scowl. I should be asking him why the fuck he is here. Tessa and I haven't been separated 3 days, and here this asshole is, worming his way back into her life. To drop her car off, I look behind him, but I can't see shit. Is she here? The entire way here, I told myself that I didn't want her to see me or remember that I was at her house at all last night. But I know I was just bullshitting myself. Maybe. Does she know you're coming? Noah crosses his arms, and it takes every bit of self-control I have not to knock him to the ground, step over him, maybe on him, and find her. No. I just want to make sure that she's okay. What did she tell you? I ask him, backing back off of the porch. Nothing. She didn't have to. She doesn't have to tell me anything. I know she wouldn't come all the way here if you hadn't done something to her. I frown. You're wrong, actually. It wasn't me, this time. He looks surprised by my small admission, so I continue, peacefully for now. Look, I know you hate me, and you have every reason to, but I will see her one way or another, so you can either move out of my way, or I'll...
Harden?
Tessa's voice is a small whisper, nearly lost in the breeze as she appears behind Noah.
Hey.
My feet carry me inside the house, and Noah sensibly moves out of my way.
Are you okay?
I ask, cupping her cheeks in my cold hands. Her head jerks away. Because of the cold, I force myself to believe, and she steps back from me.
Yeah, I'm okay,
she lies. Questions tumble out of my mouth.
Are you sure? How are you feeling? Did you sleep? Does your head ache? Yes, okay, some, yes,
she answers, nodding along, but I already forgot what I asked her in the first place.
Who told you?
She asks me, her cheeks a deep red.
Molly. Molly?
Yeah, she called when you were, in my old room. I can't keep the panic from my voice.
Oh.
She looks past me, focusing on some distant space, her eyebrows drawn together in concentration. Does she remember that I was here? Do I want her to? Yes, of course I do.
You're okay, though. Yes.
Noah steps to where we're standing, and with alarm clear in his voice, asks,
Tessa, what happened?
Looking back at Tessa, I can tell she doesn't want him to know about everything. I like the idea of that more than I should.
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
I answer him so she doesn't have to.
Was it serious?
He presses.
I said don't worry about it.
I growl, and he gulps. I turn back to Tessa.
I brought your car,
I tell her.
You did?
She says.
Thanks. I thought Steph would have busted the windshield or something.
She sighs, her shoulders slouching further with every word. Her attempt at a joke didn't work for anyone, herself included.
Why did you go to her anyway? Out of all people, why her?
I ask her. She looks at Noah, then back to me.
Noah, can you give us a minute?
She sweetly requests. He nods and gives me what I assume is supposed to be some kind of warning glare before leaving us alone in the small living room.
Why her? Tell me, please,
I repeat.
I don't know. I didn't have anywhere else to go, Harden.
You could have gone to Landon. You practically have your own bedroom at that house, I point out.
I don't want to keep dragging your family into it. I've done it enough, and it's not fair to them.
And you knew I would go there. When she looks down at her hands, I say, I wouldn't have.
Okay,
she says sadly.
Fuck, that's not what I meant.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant I was going to give you space.
Oh,
she whispers, while picking at her fingernails. You're being really quiet.
I'm just... I don't know. It's been a long night and morning.
She frowns. I want to walk over and smooth the line between her brows and kiss her pain away.
No, Harden said.
she called out in her barely conscious state. "I know. Do you remember it?" I ask her, not sure if I can bear to listen to her response. I expect her to tell me to go away, or cuss me out even, but she doesn't. Instead, she nods and sits down on the couch, gesturing for me to sit on the other side. Chapter 66. Harden. I want to move closer to her, to reach for her shaking hand and find a way to erase her memories. I hate that she went through such an ordeal, and I'm once again blown away by her strength. She's sitting up, her back as straight as a board, and ready to talk to me.
"Why did you come here?"
she asks quietly. By way of answer, I ask, "Why is he here?" and nod my head toward the kitchen. I just know Noah is perched against the wall, listening in to our conversation. I really can't fucking stand him, but given the circumstances, I should probably shut up about it. Playing with her hands, she says,
"He's here to check on me."
"He doesn't need to check on you. That's why I'm here."
"Harden," she frowns, "not today. Please."
"Sorry." I inch back, feeling like an even bigger asshole than I did seconds ago.
"Why did you come here?"
Tessa asks again. "To bring your car. You don't want me here, do you?" I haven't once, until now, even considered that possibility. And it burns through me like acid. My being here might only be making things worse for her. The days of her finding solace in me are no longer.
"It's not that. I'm just confused."
"About what?" Her eyes shine under the dim lights of her mum's living room.
"You, last night, Steph, everything. Did you know that it was all a game to her, and she really has hated me all this time?"
"No, of course I didn't know," I tell her.
"You had no idea that she had any bad feelings toward me?"
"Damn it. But I want to be honest, so I say, maybe a little, I guess. Molly had mentioned it once or twice, but she didn't elaborate. And I didn't think it was something to this extent, or that Molly even knew what she was talking about."
"Molly? Since when does Molly care about me?"
So black and white. Tessa always wants things to be so black and white, and it makes me shake my head. A little sad that things just can never be so simple. "She doesn't. She hates you still," I tell her and look down. "But she called me after that Applebee's shit, and I was mad. I didn't want her or Steph to ruin things between me and you. I thought Steph was trying to meddle just to be a nosy bitch. I didn't think she was a fucking psycho." When I look over at Tessa, she's wiping tears from her eyes. I move across the couch to close the space between us, and she recoils.
"Hey, it's okay,"
I say and grab her arm to pull her to my chest.
"Shh."
My hand rests over her hair, and after a few seconds of trying to pull away, she gives in.
"I just want to start over. I want to forget about everything that's happened in the last 6 months," she sobs.
My chest tightens as I nod along, agreeing with her even though I don't want to. I don't want her to want to forget me.
"I hate college. I always looked forward to it, but it's been one mistake after another for me."
She pulls at my shirt, bringing herself closer to me. I stay silent, not wanting to make her feel any worse than she's already feeling. I didn't have a fucking clue of what I was walking into when I knocked on the door, but I sure as hell didn't expect to have a crying Tessa in my arms.
"I'm being so dramatic."
She pulls away too soon, and for a moment I consider pulling her back to me.
"No, no, you're not.
You're being really calm, considering what happened. Tell me what you remember. Don't make me ask again. Please."
"It's all a blur, really. It was so strange. I was aware of everything, but nothing made any sense. I don't know how to explain it. I couldn't move, but I could feel things.
She shudders. Feel things? Where did he touch you? I don't want to know.
My legs. They undressed me.
Only your legs? Please say yes.
Yes, I think so. It could have been so much worse. But Zed...
She stops, takes a breath.
Anyway, the pills made my body so heavy. I don't know how to explain it.
I nod. I know what you mean.
What?
Broken memories of blacking out in bars and stumbling down the streets of London race through my mind. The idea of fun that I once had is completely different from what I consider to be fun now. I used to take them now and then for fun.
You did?
Her mouth falls open, and I don't like how her look makes me feel. I guess fun isn't really the word. I backtrack. Not anymore. She nods and gives me a sweet, relieved smile. She adjusts the collar of her sweater, which I see now is pretty tight on her. Where did that come from? I ask.
The sweater?
She gives me a wry smile.
It's my mother's. Can't you tell?
Her fingers tug at the thick fabric. I don't know. Noah was at the door, and you're dressed like that. I thought I had stepped into a time machine. I tease. Her eyes light up with humor, all sadness momentarily washed away, and she bites down on her lip in an attempt to stop from laughing. She sniffles and reaches over to the small table to pull a tissue from the floral box.
No, there are no time machines.
Tessa shakes her head back and forth slowly while wiping at her nose. Fuck. Even after crying, she's so damned beautiful. I was worried about you, I tell her. Her smile disappears. Fuck.
This is what confuses me, she says. You told me you didn't want to try anymore. But here you are telling me that you were worried about me.
She stares at me blankly, her lip trembling. She's right. I don't always say it, but it's true. I spend hours a day worrying about her. Emotion. This is what I need from her. I need the reassurance. But she takes my silence the wrong way.
It's okay. I'm not upset with you. I do appreciate you coming here and bringing my car. It means a lot to me that you did that.
I remain mute on the couch, unable to talk for some time. It's nothing, I finally manage to say with a shrug. But I need to say something real, anything. After watching more of my painful silence for a moment, Tessa goes into polite hostess mode.
How will you get home? Wait, how did you even know how to get here?
Shit. Landon, he told me. Her eyes light up again.
Oh, he's here?
Yeah, he's outside. She flushes and rises to her feet.
Oh, I'm keeping you. I'm sorry.
No, you aren't. He's fine out there waiting. I stammer.
I don't want to leave, unless you're coming with me. He should have come inside.
She glances toward the door. He's fine. My voice comes out much too sharp.
Thank you again for bringing my car.
She's trying to dismiss me in a polite way. I know her.
Do you want me to bring your stuff inside?
I offer.
No, I'm leaving in the morning, so it's easier to keep it in there.
Why does it surprise me that every single time she opens her mouth, she reminds me that she's going to Seattle? I keep waiting for her to change her mind, but it will never happen.
Chapter 67. Tessa. As Harden reaches the door, I ask, "What did you do about Dan?" I want to know more about last night, even if Noah can hear us talking. As we pass him in the hallway, Harden doesn't so much as look at him. Noah glares, though, unsure of what to do, I assume. Dan, You said Molly told you. What did you do? I know Hardin well enough to know that he went after him. I'm still surprised by Molly's help. I was far from expecting it when she walked into the bedroom last night. I shudder at the memory. Hardin half smiles.
Nothing too bad.